Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. I am live here at our partner station, WGBH, in Boston. And also with me here in the studio is Benjamin Mako Hill, who's a researcher at the Center for Future Civic Media at MIT. We're going to be talking some very provocative and interesting ways about the election that maybe you haven't heard of, and we'll be doing some of that later. But Mako, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be here.
Also, we are talking with Catherine Welch, who's the news director of WHQR Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, and Micah Schweitzer is a reporter from WNIN Radio in Evansville, Indiana. And we wanted to welcome both of you to the program today to basically take the pulse of states in which things are in flux in ways that are very, very surprising. Catherine and Micah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, both of you were watching the debate last night and were hanging out with voters, correct?
Yes.
Well, let's begin in Evansville, Indiana, if we could. I think this is Evansville, Indiana. Yes. This is someone named Sherman Stevens that you talked with, Micah. We're going to listen to this, and then I want to hear your reaction to what he had to say. Listen.
Well, again, they're both polished politicians, but I would think Obama was very, very informative, more so than McCain was. On areas like education, he was a little bit more, again, McCain was good, but Obama was just a little bit better on it. A more polished speaker, as I mentioned before, that he's like Clinton, he could sell a bridge in the desert.
That's a good line. Micah, tell me about Sherman Stevens.
Well, Sherman Stevens is a 71-year-old retired member of the U.S. Marine Corps. He's a lifelong independent voter. And here's a voter who's not sold on either candidate, looking for answers to an issue that's faded from the campaigns. He came to the debate specifically looking to hear what the candidates had to say about border issues, illegal immigration, and NAFTA. And he was very dissatisfied with the cursory glance that was tossed in that direction. And as a result, he decided after the debate that he was not going to vote for either Obama or McCain. He is, in fact, now going to cast his vote for Libertarian Bob Barr.
Now, Micah, in some ways, that probably doesn't reflect the broad view of people in Evansville, Indiana. But one thing that is reflected in what Sherman was saying is something that we've been told all campaign long by our Takeaway political director, Andrea Bernstein, that people are really hungry for issues and are willing to take a look at any candidate, regardless of party, if they address the issues head on. Is that what you're finding in Indiana?
That is what I'm finding. Of course, the economy is the number one issue here, as it is in so many places. But Sherman Stevens is a good example that people want to hear about some other issues as well. In Mr. Stevens' case, it's immigration. And some of these issues are not playing out on the campaign like we thought they might have a year ago. Right. And so he is indicative of people wanting to hear about the issues. But he's also indicative of the fact that a lot of people who are undecided for negative reasons. They're not undecided because they like both candidates so much. They're undecided because they don't like either candidate.
Well, Catherine Welch, I want to get you in here. Both campaigns are saying that North Carolina is actually in play, which I think is certainly a surprise right off the bat. First of all, Catherine, listen to this voice that you actually obtained for us from North Carolina, and then I want to talk about who this person is. Listen.
McCain, I think, focused a little bit too much on Joe the Plumber. You know, it's important to be able to take a political concept and focus that in on a specific example, but, you know, you don't want to focus on that to the exclusion of possibly things that are as deserving or more so of coverage and airtime.
There's another individual jumping on an issue. Who was that, Catherine?
That was John DeMalis, and he was sitting at a bar in a southern cooking bistro that was holding a debate party, and he works in IT at GE Nuclear, which has its world headquarters here in Wilmington. He says he's an undecided voter, and I said, well, how can you know, so many people have made up their mind, so many people I've talked to here in North Carolina. He said, well, you know, I'm a scientist, and I like to gather all the facts and parse them out. He's keeping spreadsheets, and he's going to do a little more truth squad. And says he's not going to make up his mind until 3 days before the election.
Catherine, question for you. Do you think the state is so close because of demographic issues, or is it all about Obama, a great attraction for some voters there in North Carolina? Because there is a general surprise that North Carolina is polling so evenly between the two.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I think the latest off pollster.com has Obama at 47.9% and McCain at 47.2%. I think it's part of each. There, of course, has been a huge urban influx in what's called the Research Triangle, which is the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, a lot of biotech jobs there. So there's a lot of influx there. Charlotte has grown as a banking capital. And in our part of the state that is along the ocean, there's sort of an influx of young and new, a lot of retirees from up north. And, of course, it depends on how they have grown up in their voting patterns. But we're also getting a lot of new industry like GE Nuclear. We have a pharmaceutical company here, and we're getting those young workers here. So you have that influence. But then at the same time, we had a primary in May that was up for grabs, and the Obama campaign has been on the street, has been in barbershops, restaurants, on college campuses. I work not far from a college campus, and they literally grab people, students, before they go in. Hey, have you registered to vote yet? And this has been happening since April and really hasn't let up. The Obama campaign has been here on the streets working the neighborhoods, and has to factor into it.
Sure, and let's not forget, you know, the senator, John Edwards, was, you know, one of the candidates there. So a lot of unpredictability, a lot in play. Micah, you know, and we're relying on both of you because public radio reporters are really spending a lot of time interacting with voices. You're our eyes and ears in some of these really interesting battleground communities. Micah, why is Indiana seemingly in play in some sense?
Well, Indiana is, like a lot of the surrounding Midwestern states, an industrial center and one that is deeply affected by the economy. And Indiana has voters who are concerned about the economy. And so as the economy has become a progressively more prevalent issue in the race, we see that that is helping Barack Obama because, like Mr. Stevens last night, other undecided voters I've spoken with do give Obama some points on his handling of economic issues and prefer him on domestic policy. So, you know, that's what's moving Indiana into this surprising position of being a toss-up state in 2008.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, you mentioned the economy there in North Carolina, Catherine. Wachovia is a big bank in Charlotte, North Carolina, that now, of course, is part of Wells Fargo. How do people in North Carolina, you know, what do they make of that?
That makes the economy hit home, a lot closer to home. There's a lot of eyes around the state looking at what's happening in Charlotte. And so we have one part of the state that's banking, like the Charlotte area, and then we have the coastal area that's heavily dependent on the tourist industry and the huge business heart of the state in the Raleigh-Durham Triangle area. So the economy was key, and everybody I talked to last night, there were two things on their mind, the economy and, interestingly enough, how Obama was going to respond to the personal attacks. So the economy certainly on the minds of folks around the state.
Micah, do you think that this election has changed the way people think about politics in general, that they think perhaps they have a different kind of a voice, that their engagement is more valuable in some sense? Or is this simply, you know, something driven by the candidates and, you know, something that we're not going to see as more of a tectonic shift in the way Indiana approaches politics from here on out?
It depends who you talk to. I mean, I've talked to, for instance, some young college voters, and they say that potentially they will be involved in future elections as well. There's no question that the candidates, in particular Barack Obama, are driving a lot of the interest that's going on. But people, I think, do feel like it's up to them to make some important decisions this fall. On the other hand, I've spoken to people who say that this is still politics as usual, who remain somewhat cynical about what either candidate can do once they enter office. So, you know, it really depends on who one talks to.
Well, it affects the cynicism factor, that's for sure. Catherine, quickly, tectonic shift or one-time event, do you think?
Good question. I think the question is going to be how many of these 600,000 new voters will vote again in 4 years. George Bush won the state in 2004 by 12%. A lot of people think that these new voters can make a difference. Will they vote again? And that's the question to find out in 4 years.
Great question. Catherine Welch, news director at WHQR Radio in Wilmington, and Micah Schweitzer, reporter at WNIN Radio in Evansville, Indiana. Mako, at the Center for Future Civic Media, they love unpredictability over there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that in a minute.